Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hey, today is what we're calling Worship Sunday. Worship Sunday. But I must say this, that every Sunday is Worship Sunday. However, today across all our locations, we are preaching specifically on worship. And so I'll be doing that here this morning, here today. Of all the things, or of all the times I get asked to preach, this is perhaps one of my most favorite things to speak on and to preach on. Not only am I the location pastor here alongside my wife at our Northern Beaches location, but I'm also our church's worship director and have been in that role for quite some time now. I've been a part of the worship team in our church for almost 25 years now. I wasn't saying that to get an applause, but thank you anyway. Thank you, Jackson. Not that these type things are the goal. I want to make it really, really clear. Not that these type things are the goal for a worship leader, but I've been a part of the many albums our church has released over that time frame, and some of which I've helped produce. I was 20 years old when I first wrote songs for and sang on one of those albums. And it was a youth album by the name of No Longer I. And if you come to our 6 p.m. service tonight, we're going to watch a little snippet of the DVD that was part of that package with that album. But our worship is deeply woven into the fabric of this church. Worship is deeply woven into the fabric of this church. It took 8 long years to get council permission to build on the land we're gathered on here today. And I recently heard Pastor Chris Pringle speak about that season and how significant the songs written during that time were. And to quote her, she said this, that over those 8 long years, we didn't wait in a sulk. She said this, that we partied, that we praised God, that we recorded albums over that season or in that season. And it was those songs in that season that carried people's faith and kept it alive through the waiting. And I have no problem saying this what I'm about to say, because it would be a discredit to our history if we didn't run with the baton that has been passed on to us. As great as our history is, our future is even brighter. As great as our history is, our future is even brighter. And specifically when it comes to worship, the greatest songs to come out of this church are yet to be written. The greatest songs to come out of this church are yet to be written. And over the last couple weeks leading up to today, I've had a real stirring in my heart for what God is going to do today all across our locations in our church. And I've been reminded of that Matt Redman song, Heart of Worship. And those lyrics of the chorus just keep running around in my mind. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you. And so toward the end of this service, we are going to be opening the altar. And I'm going to just ask that each and every one of us, all of us, just come and come on the altar here this morning, here today. And I believe some blocked up wells are going to get unblocked. When it comes to worship, I believe some blocked up wells are going to get unblocked here today. And a part of that, I want to pray for our worship team. I think I did this maybe a couple weeks ago, but I want to pray for our worship team. I want to pray for songwriters or any songwriters here this morning as well. And you might say or think that that's quite a niche or even small number of us, which is correct, but the impact of those songs, or the impact those songs can have, is for all of us. Songs help us put to words what the heart longs to say. Songs, or these songs, they help us put to words what the heart longs to say. Whether you're a musician or not, a singer or not, on the worship team or not, the songs put to words what the heart longs to say. They give voice to the church. That's you and I. They give voice to the church. As a songwriter, one of the most amazing things to witness is when a song you wrote becomes part of someone else's story. And about 16 years ago, I wrote a song called Nothing But Jesus. And a little while back, I met someone who had the words "Nothing But Jesus" tattooed on their chest, tattooed right on their heart, on their chest. And he'd at that point when he got that tattoo, that was a song that his church was singing, and that song, he went on to tell me, played a big part in him coming to faith in those early days and years of him coming to Jesus. That song played a big part in his journey. So much so that he felt the need to get it tattooed to his chest. This year, the banner over us as a church is a great harvest. And our scripture for that is, and we're going to start here today, it's in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. It's a Message translation, or we're going to read it from the Message translation. And it says this, it says, "Sing to God." And we're going to come back to that in a moment. "Sing to God, everyone and everything. Get out his salvation news every day. Publish his glory among the godless nations, his wonders to all races and religions." And why? Because God is great. Well worth praising. Not just worth praising, well worth praising. No God, and you'll notice the little g there, no God or goddess comes close in honor. All the popular little g gods are stuff and nonsense. But God, and the translation I'm reading from here has capital G, capital O, capital D, but God made the cosmos. Splendor and majesty flows out of him. Strength and joy fill his place. The very first thing we read there, the very first instruction in that passage is to what? Is to sing, is to worship. And that's where I want to arrive at today. However, we need to begin at the heart of it. And that's where we're going to be starting today, at the heart of it. Because you can sing and not be worshiping. A couple of scriptures I want to look at together. The first one is in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. And just for context, the chapter is titled, "Samuel Rejects Saul." And later on in 1 Samuel 15, the chapter is titled, "God Rejects Saul." Now that will really mess with some of our theology here. But Saul was king at the time. He was chosen by God. Saul was king at the time. He was chosen by people, whereas David was chosen by God. David was chosen by God. Saul started with promise and potential, but in the end was more concerned with pleasing people than obeying God. Saul was more concerned with pleasing man than obeying God. He was given clear instruction by Samuel the prophet, but he ignored it. And then we read here in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, it says this, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commandment." In Hebrew, both the words worship and obedience share the same root meaning, to bow down. Worship is inseparable from obedience. God is looking for men and women after his own heart. God is looking for men and women after his own heart. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says this, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully, not partly, not mostly, are fully committed to him." 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, it says this, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." To have a heart of worship simply means this. It means to have a heart after God. To have a heart of worship, it simply means this, to have a heart after God. Something I often say to worship leaders, and you may have heard me say it before, and really it applies to all of us. You don't have to be a worship leader to be able to apply this. But something I quite often say to worship leaders is this, that we are worshipers first, worship leaders second. We are worshipers first, worship leaders second. Really important we get that around the right way. I've seen it trip too many worship leaders up. What we do is secondary to who we are. We are worshipers first. John 4:23, probably the most famous passage of scripture to do with worship. It says this, "But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers," so if there's true worship, there's false worship. There's what we think is worship. "When our opinion and preference gets in the way of the purpose. The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Earlier in that chapter, we read about an age-old problem. The Samaritans believed the mountain was the place of worship. The Jews believed Jerusalem was the place of worship. And this problem still exists today. What we think is worship, or how we think worship should be done, we base it on style, our favorite worship song, or our favorite worship leader. But Jesus says, it doesn't matter whether you worship on the mountain or in Jerusalem, I'm looking for worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. You don't sing a worship song. You are a worship song. I grew up hearing this, that worship is a lifestyle. And my only rebuttal with that is, or I think a better wording of that is worship is your life, full stop. Worship is not a style. It's not a genre. It's your life. When we bring our tithes, that's worship. What we did last Sunday at Vision Builders is worship. When we honor our mothers and fathers, that's worship. When I treat my wife well and put her first, that's worship. When I treat my kids well, that's worship. When I share the good news of the gospel with someone else, that's worship. And Jesus says the Father is looking for people who will worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit meaning it comes from our inner being. It's a heart thing. Truth meaning it is grounded in God's word. My translation of that is this. If the way we live our lives doesn't line up with the words we sing, there is no truth in what we are singing. Worship is your life. So many scriptures we could look at, but for time's sake, I'm gonna keep it moving. So what role does music then play in all of this? What role does music play in praise and worship? Three things I want to touch on here today. And we're not going to spend too much time on them, but what role does music play in praise and worship? Three things. First thing is this: expression. Second thing is instruction. The third thing is unification. Expression, instruction, and unification. First thing, expression. And we've got to remember this, that God created music. Throughout history, man has created styles and genres, but music has existed long before the creation of the earth. God created music, and God himself sings. Zephaniah 3:17, it tells us that God, even God himself is musical, that God himself sings. And all throughout the Psalms, you know, we're encouraged to sing, to shout, to clap, to dance, to bow. We are integrated beings. And so when we worship, we do so with our heart, with our mind, and with our body. And that means being unashamed. That means getting a little undignified in our love and in our passion and zeal for the Lord. There is a divine connection between music, worship, and the presence of God. Second thing, instruction. The songs we sing, they help shape our theology. That's why it's really important for any songwriter, any worship songwriter, that your songs go through a theology check. And not that I think anyone sets out to intentionally write a theologically incorrect song, but even so, really important that what we're singing and what we're going to get people singing is grounded in theology and goes through that process. The songs we sing help shape our theology. They help form our understanding of who God is and how we are to live. It says this in Colossians 3:16. It's going to come up on the screen here. It says this: let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Then look at this: through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Psalm 1 is known as the wisdom psalm. Remember, Psalm is a book of songs. Psalm 1 is known as the wisdom psalm. It lays out two paths, one that leads to blessing through obedience and another that leads to misery through rebellion. Worship songs instruct us in how to live life God's way. And it's not just teaching, it's encouraging. I was at our Central West location last weekend and I was leading worship with the team there. And there on the front row was Bill Trestrell with his hands held high, singing his heart out. And Bill, you know, has been a part of our church for a long, long time. A couple of years ago, he lost his wife, Roz, who both Bill and Roz were very loved members of our church. And there was Bill, front row, hands held high, singing his heart out, worshiping. And I got to say, it blessed me. It encouraged me. And every Sunday when I come to church, I'm blessed and I'm encouraged. Knowing some of your stories, seeing you and hearing you worship. It's not why we worship, but know this, that when you worship, it encourages someone else. That when you just keep turning up, regardless of what is going on in your world, in your circumstance, when you worship, it encourages somebody else. Third thing, unification. Worship, it unifies. It brings us together. It's the one time, even literally down to the beat of the kick drum, that we are all doing the exact same thing. Transcending our individual differences, whether that's age, demographic, upbringing, background, nationality. It's the one time we are all doing the exact same thing, transcending our individual differences. Worship fosters unity and strengthens community. Psalm 34 verse 3 says this, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Psalm 100 verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 22 verse 3, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. It says in the New King James Version, it says God inhabits the praises of his people. If I can have the worship team join me up on stage here. The Greek word for worship, it means to kiss. Here's the thing. We don't worship a distant God. Emmanuel, God with us. We don't worship a distant God. We worship a God who we get to have an intimate relationship with. When we gather to worship, we create a place for God's presence to dwell and move. There is no sweeter sound, I believe, in all the earth than the sound of God's people singing, the sound of God's people worshiping. And there's always been a time, but if there's ever been a time for worship and the high praises of God to flood the earth, it's now. As Isaiah the prophet declared, he said this, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the chief among the mountains. Then it goes on to say this, that people from all over the earth will flood there to worship. In the Old Testament, the incense burning at the temple, it could be smelt 20 kilometers away. It reached Jericho of all places. And that fragrance, it filled the whole city. And even the surrounding regions could smell it. Yes, worship is your life. But don't underestimate the importance and the power of the church gathered. When the church sings, when the church worships, what is happening in the spiritual climate over the city of Sydney when we gather and when we worship, it shifts things. The aroma of our worship, which is really what that is, and the Bible talks about Christ, or says Christ is that aroma. And when Jesus is at the center, the aroma of our worship, the aroma of Christ, it shifts atmospheres in the spirit realm. And one more scripture, Isaiah 42 verse 9. It says this. It says, behold. Everyone say behold. Whenever you see that word behold in the Bible, it's because the writer, or really God for that matter, is trying to get your attention. It says this, behold, the former things have come to pass. I love how the Bible states the obvious. The things that have happened have happened. And new things I now declare. And I believe God wants to do something new and fresh in your life here this morning, here today. I believe God wants to do something new in our church across all our locations here today on Worship Sunday. And it goes on to say this, before they spring forth, or in other words, before it's happened, I tell you of them. And then it goes on to say this, and this next bit baffles me. It says this, now sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. What baffles me about this is, why does it tell us to sing if what God has promised in verse 9 hasn't come to pass yet? In the same way, why would God say to the barren woman, sing? Because worship keeps us centered on the Lord. Worship reminds us of who God is, what He has done, and what He does. The new song isn't in the new day. The new day is in the new song. Some of you may have found that a bit confusing. I'm going to say it again. The new song isn't in the new day. The new day is in the new song. The new day is in the new song. The new day is in the new song. And I believe God's got a new song for us as C3SYD. Back in 2016, and I'll finish with this. Back in 2016, I had a tumor cut out of my throat. It wasn't cancerous. It wasn't life and death. But it was life and death for my vocal cords. I remember waking up from surgery and the doctor said to me, I don't think you'll ever be able to sing again. I don't know if you'll ever be able to speak properly again either. To add to that, I was later diagnosed with a neurological voice condition called spasmodic dysphonia. It's a condition where the nerves in your throat involuntarily spasm, creating a whole lot of vocal problems. Over a three-year period, of voice therapy session after voice therapy session, and believing that God that it was going to come good, it did, or at least we got close enough to it. Anyway, the point of sharing That is to say this. I literally lost my voice. Not metaphorically speaking, I literally lost my voice. And if I sound a bit raspy here today, it's because I haven't been well this week. But I literally lost my voice, not metaphorically speaking, literally. And one of the things I'm passionate about is people finding their voice. And even though I lost my voice in a physical sense, the voice I'm talking about is the voice behind your voice.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.